Let us pray. O Lord, may the meditations on my heart, all of our hearts, and the words from my lips be pleasing in your holy sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The sermon for today is based on the gospel reading we just heard. If you are looking for a ghost story in Scripture, we have it in Mark chapter 6. There the disciples are on their way to Bethsaida. Jesus had given them instructions to go on ahead of him while he dismissed the crowds. All this is taking place, the scripture says, about the fourth watch of the night. That's around 3 o'clock in the morning. The time when most of us are in a deep sleep. The disciples were in a rowboat in the middle of the sea, about 3 to 4 miles from land. Not only was it late at night, not only were they far from shore, the weather wasn't cooperating, making it hard to row even for seasoned, experienced fishermen. And as if that wasn't bad enough, things got a whole lot scarier. As the waves were leaping and the torturous wind blowing against them, they look out and they see what they think to be a ghost, a phantom walking on the water. Now, at this point, the disciples respond the way we would likely respond if we thought we were seeing a ghost. They cry out in terror. Fear grabs hold of these men as they mistakenly take Jesus to be a phantom. The Lord Jesus was walking on the water, and the text says he meant to pass them by. That phrase is a little hard to understand until you jump into the Old Testament. And there we see in the writings of Moses that spectacular story when God passes by Moses when the great prophet requests to see the glory of Yahweh. It's in Exodus 33 where we see God pass by Moses, but as he is passing by, he covers Moses' face to keep the prophet from gazing into the face of God. Why? Because the face of God is so holy, it is so righteous. Sinful man cannot see it and live. That passing by takes place in the Old Testament. In the Gospel of Mark, it's a little different. There we see Jesus intending to pass by his disciples, a boat full of his weary, fearful followers. But they cry out in terror. And the Lord Jesus hears them, and he goes to them. Unlike with Moses, who could only see the backside of the uncovered, glorious, majestic Yahweh, here we see Jesus, God in the flesh, not continue to pass by his people going about his merry way, but he comes to his people. And brothers and sisters, in the person of Jesus Christ, we behold the glory of God. In Jesus, we have all the God that we need. He doesn't ignore the cries of his people. Jesus does not continue going about his way, ignoring those who cry out to him. Instead, Jesus comes to his people. Jesus rescues his people. Your Lord and your God saves his people. Upon approaching the boat, Jesus speaks. Take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid. Have some courage. It's me. Relax, I'm here. We would do well to note the order by which things occur here. Jesus approaches the boat. He speaks. Then he gets into the boat. Then the wind ceases. Friends, it is when creation is raging, the wind is blowing, that the Lord Jesus preaches his consoling word to his disciples. It's in the midst of their terror that they hear his word. Take heart. It's I. Do not be afraid. Then he gets into the boat. Then everything dies down. It's me, Jesus, your Lord and your God. Do not be afraid. I am with you. Christian, your God is with you. By faith, he is your God. Therefore, do not be afraid. Therefore, you can cast all your anxieties, your worries and your cares on him, because he cares for you. When God is on the scene, everything truly is all right. No need to cry out in terror. When your God says to you, He is with you and He is for you. Just as the wind ceases at the very word of God, friends, creation itself, that means droughts, famines, affliction, tornadoes, tsunamis, none of that can separate you from the compassion, the mercy, and the love God has for you through His Son, our Lord Jesus. We can relate to what the disciples were going through. I know we don't use rowboats to get where we are going, but life can easily be Life can easily be compared to being in a rowboat in the middle of a sea late at night during a raging storm. You row and you row and you row only to get nowhere. You may even see where you want to go. Doesn't mean you're going to get there. Progress. What a word. Progress is difficult in any area of life. Now, when we're young, we don't think that way, do we? When we're young, we have plenty of time to daydream, and we have visions of grandeur in our mind. When I get old, I will be that rock star. When I get old, I will be that untouchable athlete. When I get old, rest assured, I will be a CEO of a multi-million dollar company that everybody is just longing to buy stock in and be a part of. When I get old, I will be anybody but my parents. But it happens. We get older. Perhaps God calls us into a vocation that we weren't quite expecting. And then we realize the Christian life isn't quite as easy as we thought it would be. Instead of there being unbridled advance, success, and progress, we find very quickly that in this life, even for the Christian, there is suffering. There are setbacks. People get sick, loved ones die, even our bodies do not remain in tip-top shape forever. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, we try and try and we do all that we can to achieve that goal we have in mind, only to take one step forward and five steps back. In our vocations, whatever they may be, father, mother, son, daughter, wife, husband, worker, progress can take a long time if it comes at all. You're like a disciple in a boat. You're rowing and you're rowing and you're rowing only to have the wind blowing hard against you. Now, it is one thing to try to make progress in a particular job or vocation. But here's a question. You ever tried to make progress on yourself? Have you ever tried really hard to be better, to do better? If you have, let me just say, first, that is a noble goal, friends. It is a good thing to want to be better, to do better. It is a good thing to want to treat your neighbor and serve them in a better way than you have done in the past. Pay no attention when people mock you or call you a holy roller just because you've identified some weaknesses in yourself that you would like to improve upon. But, there's always a but. As soon as you embark upon that quest of self-improvement by yourself, you quickly realize not only is it difficult, but impossible without the mercy, grace, and help of your Lord and your God, just as the disciples discovered. Temptation in this life never ceases, does it, Christian? We are tempted. That's why we are to pray in the Lord's Prayer. Lord, lead us not into temptation. Sinful thoughts plague our mind, and they seem to come and go as they please. Yes, the Word of God says, take every thought captive to obey Christ, 2 Corinthians 10:5. And indeed, we should do that. We should take all of our sinful thoughts captive in obedience to Jesus. But the power and ability to do such a thing must come from outside of us, because as the Scriptures make very clear, our flesh is corrupted by sin. Our minds are polluted by sin. Ever heard what comes out of the heart, according to Jesus? It ain't good. Theft, murder, greed, adultery, sexual morality, those things come from the heart of the natural sinful man. They are what defile a person. And no one, friends, is immune from the sickness of sin. Overcoming temptation and sin by yourself, on your own efforts and work, puts you in the same boat as the disciples. You row and you row and you row, only to have the breezes of the world blow against you while you cry out in terror and get nowhere. The world is a scary place. The world is a frightening place, filled with suffering. Creation still shakes from sin. And your life, Christian, may too often seem like a storm raging against you while you are getting nowhere. And it may seem that in that storm you are by yourself, alone, far from land, far from anybody who could ever help you. The evil one would like you to think that way. Feelings of loneliness, depression, feelings of being abandoned. These fall upon even God's most faithful children. Brothers and sisters in Christ, God's word today speaks to us. Even though the disciples were in the middle of the Sea of Galilee late at night, far from land, you know what? Their Lord and their great God was still with them. Jesus wasn't far away. Yes, I know at one point he was on land and they were in the middle of the sea, but so what? The scriptures say Jesus still saw everything that they were going through. And it's in the middle of the raging tempest that they find themselves in that Christ comes to them. He hears their cry, he listens, and he comes, and then he speaks to his people. He speaks to them that word, "Take heart. It's I. Don't be afraid." When the storms of your life are raging, when you feel as if you are alone to battle your sin, when you feel as if you are alone to face all the affliction that this world has to bring, hear the word of your great God and your Savior, and remember this word that he brings to you. Take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid. In your feelings of sorrow, your Lord is with you. When you feel abandoned, God's word speaks. He is with you. You are engraved on the palms of his hands. That's how Isaiah puts it. In John chapter 10, our Lord Jesus, the good shepherd, says he has you in his arms and no one can take you from him. Everything that could separate you from the love of your great God, friends, it has been washed away. What I mean is this. By the blood of Jesus Christ, every sin that could separate you from the love of God has been paid for in full by the blood shed at Calvary's cross. His work freely for you, Christian. Switching gears just a tad bit. In verse 52 in Mark's gospel, we see another line. It says, "They did not understand about the loaves." The disciples were still on a learning curve at this point. Today we have something that is very great. We have the Word of God that is very clear. And the Word of God says to us that not only did Jesus die by faith to make you his own, but friends, you still have access to Christ Jesus, your Lord. You have access to Christ by faith in his Word. You still have access to his body here on this table. Your Lord and your God has prepared. Yes. The disciples had access to Jesus' body when he got into the boat with them. Today, God's people have access to him and his body and blood prepared for you at this divine holy meal. Come hungry. Come up here thirsty. Come up here and receive what the Lord gives you. His body and blood for your forgiveness, life, and salvation. Friends, when you have Christ, sorry, but you're not alone. When you have Christ, you have not been abandoned. You cannot get any closer to your Lord and to your God any more than you can when you come right here to receive the gifts that God has to give you. Let me conclude by saying, please take this point home with you. Even in the most tumultuous of times, when it seems as if your life cannot get any worse, your sins any greater, your despair and loneliness any deeper, friends, hear the word of your Lord and your great God and Savior. Speak unto you these words, take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. It is your Savior Jesus who is with you, who is for you, your victorious Savior, who died to purchase you, Christian, for himself. You live knowing your Savior has redeemed you from the throes of death. You are never alone. You are never by yourself in this world when by God's grace you live by faith. By faith in your triumphant Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus from now until life everlasting. Go in his peace. Amen.